All right.
Well, good deal.
Can we go back to our regular bit?
Sure.
Address the rest of these later on?
Can we start over?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Vance, you want to go ahead and hit the record button again?
It's already going, John. You're good.
Hey, thank you. All right.
Sorry. Now we're back on.
Get back on the agenda here if I can find it. There we go. All right.
Should we nominate a new board member before we do the member before we do the board selection?
Sure. If we have someone that we want to, we need to fill a vacancy. So, and that's, actually, I had that.
You have it on new business.
Oh, new business, but it's actually, yeah. Okay. We do have a vacancy on the board, which we'd like to fill. Ben, your name has come up. How do you feel about that?
Again?
Another way around?
I second that motion. I heard Brent.
Oh, yeah, I know. Actually, I got to go back here 1 second before I do that. Brent, you got a vote in the last meeting. Would you like to exercise that vote and join the board?
I'm going to transfer my vote to Ben. He's smarter than I am.
Oh, I don't know about that. I would consider serving on the board. I haven't been in position for years. You know, the last go around where it was heavily pushed. You know, I would like to. I mean, I love the ranch as much as anybody, and I think that there's some windows of opportunity right now that are sliding open where stuff that has been dreamed of and talked about for years could come together, and so I would like to do that. I don't know, and part of it is the new board deciding as far as meetings. I mean, if meetings are here in Kanab as opposed to the ranch, it's a lot easier for me to attend a 2-3 hour meeting instead of driving an extra 2 hours. And I know a lot of you, that are driving several hours even to get to Kanab, which I definitely. Respect and appreciate the effort of it, but you know, I think to have some meetings there and make some site visits or whatever. But that's one thing that is difficult in the other responsibilities and meetings I have, and whether Saturday is going to remain the day with a young family. Some of this stuff is important enough that it's handled business. Personally, I would rather take a half day out of the week, 1 day a month, and handle business.
Amen.
Until a weekend a month that I have a hard time explaining to my 5-year-old why we're not doing something today. Those are my biggest concerns. If those some result, you know.
Let me make a suggestion to you guys. I hate meetings. I'm here for one reason only today, and you know, I'll talk about that later. But why don't you guys start looking at, rather than a monthly meeting, a bi-monthly meeting? You've got email, you got telephones, you got faxes, you got all sorts of ways you can communicate amongst each other. And unless there's something critically important, there's no reason to sit down and hammer something out every month for hours on end. Make it once every 2 months, and it's not going to be.
Well, I'd agree with you as long as we could get things done in between.
Well,
and
I agree with that. Part of the, and I'll be honest, up front, part of any of my reservation or question outside of my other commitments to be on the board is just, now it's gone from 5-person when I was president to a 7-person, which is good at sometimes, but then you just have that many more that don't show up to even make quorum, and that many more ideas to share. I mean, we all know that a small army will move quicker, and I think that some of these things, if we have great management, I mean, I haven't ever dealt with Paul, but seems to be capable, and I've gotten good reports that I've gotten through the grapevine. There's some things we don't need to micromanage. If we can make some good policies and work with somebody like Alan Steed, I think Alan's one that if he does something wrong, he's easy to say, Alan, that's wrong, and he'll be quick to try to make it right. You know, it's not a matter of getting butting heads. And that's the only way that I really want to go on. There's a book, if you want to read it, called The Speed of Trust. That's come out lately that talks about, you know, the government red tapes and bureaucrat stuff for 20 years and gets nothing done, and you get a couple of business leaders together with the political arm of it and the management, and you see, you know, miracles happen in just a few days. And I don't want to get into a thing where we're just arguing, chasing around. I've seen that. And Deer Springs is probably the worst-case example over the last 20 years of that happening. Some great ideas, some great intentions totally melted away, and money wasted and time wasted. But I think that the pieces could be there right now to really make some progress and bring the ranch into the 21st century and make it something that we can be proud of. Not like you said, John, to maintain things, but actually to improve them and bring them into an actual usable state. And I definitely think that I can help with that. But at the same time, I think that some of those decisions are quicker made and move forward with and see that it works. If it doesn't work, it's easy to undo it instead of arguing forever and still looking at each other and nothing happens.
I agree. So are you going to get on? So do you want
to I'm willing to be appointed to the board.
Okay.
So can we just say that we're going to appoint Ben to the board?
We'd like to appoint Ben Clarkson to the board, and we welcome you. And as far as the meeting times and meeting dates.
Do we vote?
Do we need to vote on that?
I think not a board appointment. You know how you and I communicate all the time? I think if we all communicated on a regular basis,
and that's
whether it's a phone conference just for 15 minutes, I don't know.
I personally think that you need to meet at least once a month. Just not meet physically, but you said, but just have communication at least once a month at a certain time. I am not a bit. We spent so much last time I was on the board. We spent hours on end. That to me, that is the biggest waste of time I ever saw. When I have a meeting, it's always been set 1 hour. I'm in and I'm out. And if you want to visit, you can visit later. But if there's something that needs to be done on the board, it doesn't take that long. We put an agenda together. You make a decision. You have already made the discussions beforehand. You come in. We make a meeting. We make decisions, and we're gone. And I seem to be able to get a lot more accomplished in bigger groups if we can do that instead of spending time making all the visits in one meeting.
Right. Yeah, I think we can communicate and get things done in between meetings. And we have done that this year, and I'm sure we can do that more in the future, yes.
Well, just as a visitor, I was the former tourism director for the county, and Ben was the chairperson of that, and we met every other month and still got all of our business done. You guys have officers, right?
Yes.
And your officers can make the day-to-day decision through an email or a phone call, and then, you know, it worked well for us to meet every other month. Or even quarterly. Sometimes we couldn't meet quarterly, and we met quarterly and still don't. Through email to the chair, yourself, and the ranch manager, and, you know, do a quick email to the other officers. And if they're not opposed to it, we did a lot of our stuff through the tourism office by consensus. Here's what we agreed to, unless anybody's opposed. And then pop out the email. If nobody was opposed, you move forward. I've seen it work successfully on a 2 to 3 month meeting.
Okay, we'll consider that. Dave, you had a question about do we need to vote?
Well, you said that the board appointment doesn't require any input from the members. So,
on a vacancy like this, this is correct as far as our bylaws. We can make an appointment, and that obviously it would be for the remainder of this year, and. Then, of course, new elections would be next year.
Next annual meeting.
Welcome. Okay. So now we have a full board.
Yay.
And I agree with what's been said as far as, you know, we can adjust meetings, and we don't expect you to be at every meeting, you know, and we can get business taken care of in between, you know, and if we, you know, if nothing's really pressing, we can punt the meeting till the next. You know, we can discuss this, and I agree with Paul that by communicating effectively, we can get a lot done with a lessened impact.
Hey, John.
Yes.
If you gave things, especially the in-between meetings, a little bit of structure. You guys, you know, the teleconference, it's available to you 24/7 anytime. You can use it for anything you want. Doesn't have to be for just what I'm doing with it now. Just, you know, guys, But if you agree, like every, oh, the 10th of the month, somebody's going to, you're going to start up the teleconference at 7 o'clock in the evening when it's easy for people, and you wait for 15 minutes. If nobody keys in, then you close it. You know, things like that. Give it some structure. You know, I sympathize with Ben. You know, when you're running a business, you need structure in your life, or it goes down the toilet in a big hurry.
And it is an impact to not just for time, but expenses, too, to travel this distance. And we have one of our board members travels from California. It's a five-hour trip.
Right, right. But he could call in, you know. I mean,
call in. And
I mean, just informally, you know, and you can decide whether it's just amongst yourselves or whether it's not quite a board meeting, quote, unquote, that people can dial into. You know, you can, and then you won't have these knockdown, drag out, falling asleep at your desk, you know, every month meetings.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate that. Now, selection of officers for the board of directors. Okay. We have four positions to fill. We got the president, the vice president, the secretary, and the treasurer position. Okay.
Three of those are easy, John. They're not here.
Appoint them.
Very good. Starting with the president, right?
No.
I'm currently in the president's position. Dustin Hollis, who's not here, is the vice president. We have Dave Sills is taking over, and he's done a great job with secretary. Treasurer was Taylor Button, and he's no longer on the board.
That's it.
Taylor did not remain on the board?
No.
So how do you want to proceed?
Okay, Office of President. Anyone interested in fulfilling the Office of President?
Or you should say open for nomination.
It's just amongst us board members, so. Anyone have the desire to fulfill this position?
But I want to stick you in it.
The central position, I'll tell you what, you get all the phone calls. All the emails. You got to set up all the agendas, coordinate all activities.
This is your first meeting too, huh?
That's the hardest part.
I don't know that I'm doing a great job.
You're doing a great job.
John Southwick to act as president the next year.
I seconded it.
And I think that's a good plan. I want you to stay in as the president.
I can
finish out this year.
No, I can finish out this year, and this is actually I'm only on for one more year. This is the last year for my term, for the current election anyway. I will stay on as president if you're willing to support that.
Where do you go, John?
St. George. Okay. The Office of Vice President, another position. Obviously, if the president can't be there, the vice president's going to step in and keep things on the track. Dustin Hollis is currently vice president.
I think we should put Ben in. He's been in here before, and he would be able to take over if you couldn't by any chance.
Ben, are you up to that?
I'm willing to chair a meeting if you're unable to attend.
Okay. my track record so far since March is I've made every meeting so far. So I try to make the meetings, but if not, I will. I might have to try to restructure some of my responsibilities here, though. You know.
Do you have any ideas, Dave? Have you got any?
Dave,
are you okay with that?
All here.
We're leaving you as secretary.
I think Dave
should stay secretary. He's doing a great job.
Minutes and stuff. Definitely, you're doing a good job there, and that's a tough thing.
He'd be happy. that you do that.
Lived in Kanab and lived a little bit closer, I guarantee I would be a whole lot more active. But I have found myself busier than I've ever been in retirement. I can't do it from there.
Well,
I can attend the meetings, I can participate in the agenda, and I'll come up with recommendations, and all of you know where I stand as far as financial. If any of you come up with a nickel additional requirement out of the members,
that's right.
I'll be aggressively against it.
Okay.
Count on it.
Yeah.
We agree.
Dave, small government. I'm along with him. I like small government. Great. Thank you.
Are you okay with that?
I second Ben for vice president.
For vice president. Okay. Well, I think we all agreed to that.
Yeah.
Yes, we've all agreed to that. And we'd like to all agree that if you'll accept to be the vice president, I'm the secretary.
I agree.
Okay.
And along with that, Dave, is awesome with your good minutes that you take by hand. Can you see that, make sure that these recorders get to Vance?
Hey, John?
Yeah?
I may not need them. We're recording the teleconference. I'll let you know.
Okay, let me know. When meetings where we can't teleconference with this and record through this, can you take care of that?
Sometimes Linda can
do that. Right. And sometimes Paul can do it, too. Sometimes you keep track of those.
Yeah, those have been at my house.
Okay.
Past 2 months. It works out good because they're just right here.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's true.
My bank has always been around. So.
Now, the other vacancy that we have is for treasurer.
I could do that again.
Could you do that again?
Awesome.
Okay, and you have experience of that and doing it. That'd be awesome. Along with that, I like with our financial reports.
If nobody cares, much you want to.
Well, like I mentioned to Linda earlier today on our financials, I think it's really important. Yeah, it's good to have the running track of where we are in the year, but I think it's so important to keep track of our expenses.
I agree, and we know QuickBooks, so we'll pull it out.
Okay, okay. Okay, good. So if you can make sure that we have a month-to-month and an accounting of all the expenses. Mm-hmm. You know.
Okay.
Okay, I'd appreciate that. And also, we need to see about having our books have independently audited. If you could track that down and do that, that would be great.
Okay.
We're at a point where we need to do that.
Okay.
Okay. And that's the only thing that I think that we're probably in a miss with our financials right now, that we haven't had an audit lately. I don't know when
I think we're going to have to do some I shouldn't say that. I have to do it. We have to do a few little things, and then maybe we can be prepared for one.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Any questions on that?
The monthly thing is important. I don't know where we are, as far as through QuickBooks. Are we doing our own quarterly tax, backup withholding and employees and stuff? Are we outsourcing that? We've learned.
Niall Willis is been helpful with that, and he has taken care of the payroll for the caretakers,
okay.
So he is doing the quarterly and the filing of the taxes. And
are we hiring him to do that? Is it a volunteer? Is he hiring?
I don't have a rate on him yet, but would you check into that for me?
I don't know because we have someone else who could do it too, but I just don't know.
Unless
it's a contract.
I think we are paying him to do those checks for the Braytons.
Okay.
And I don't think he's doing much other than that right now.
Okay.
But if you have someone else that you want to have look at our books, that's fine.
I mean, I don't really care. I just have some people that I work with.
That's fine. And that's, I'll leave that to you. But we are in need of an audit. An independent audit, okay? Just to know where we are and how I feel good. I feel as far as I don't think that there's anything bad going on. I just need to know we need to have that. That's all. It's just part of our way we operate.
It's written into the PCNRs, John.
Exactly.
Right.
That's why. it's in the rules and regs, the bylaws, or PCNR somewhere along that. I know I read it.
So you can say it's not your fault.
Thanks, Vance. Keep this on track. So selection of officers is complete. I will do my best to keep up with my paperwork and to keep everybody informed of what's going on. Old business, we have the ranch house solar upgrades, and I guess the most recent upgrade, we have the new charge controller.
And the new display inside the house.
Okay. And
one more thing.
Yes, one more thing.
When I come up Thanksgiving, I'm bringing a remote temperature sensor so we can monitor the core of that battery bank and see how our insulation scheme is working, whether we need more, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, yeah, that's really important during this winter.
It did come with a temperature sensor.
But that just goes to the Outback to optimize its work.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no way to remote the Outback temperature sensor into the house unless you want to spend another bazillion dollars.
Oh, no, we're good where we're at right now.
Yeah, I've already bought the thing. I'll pay for it. I'll give it to the ranch, et cetera, et cetera.
Relative to the existing battery for the solar collector, when we had our picnic and our annual meeting, I went out and took a few pictures of it, but I noticed that the terminals are dry. They will corrode. They just need to be cleaned or greased or sprayed.
Right, I have a spray that I'm out there once a week at least.
But it doesn't take but once every couple of months. Okay.
I'm out there constantly.
Okay, make sure the connections are protected then, what we're saying.
I have a thing through NAPA that it's an inhibitor, whatever that residue is.
It's a dielectric inhibitor. Okay, good. That's been taken care of. And, whole business, we have a water resource plan. It's an ongoing thing, which is good that that's on the agenda because we have another proposition that we're going to consider, and it's got to do with our water rights. And I'll just go ahead and read it. Inasmuch as the DSROA is currently in jeopardy of losing water rights, it is requested that the board vote to authorize Clarkson Investments to review all water rights and suggest a plan of action to protect and develop our rights. That's the full proposal. With that being said, obviously we've had some discussion about water rights today already, and it's instrumental and it's very important. So with that proposal...
do we call that
Proposal two. Yes, call that one proposition two.
Do we have another copy of that, or is that?
Yes. Adele has some copies. Once again, I don't see that there's any. I think that's if any one of our members wants to help out with the membership, the board, the membership, and do a review of something and bring it to the. I have one.
Okay.
I don't see any negative with that. So.
I make a motion that we accept that. It needs to be done.
and it's part of our – it's something that I've been wanting to get started anyway, and is, look at our water on the ranch, where it can be improved, where improved on, get a basis for what our water is and what our rights are. And I think that's very important, and I think it's something that working with Paul, making him more familiar with what's available to us and what's out there, I think it'll be a benefit too.
So, and with the newer laws, it's just critical if you do not use it within 5 years,
you lose
someone
it.
Can come in and file on it, and you don't even know until it's too late.
I think that's the one thing, in the discussion earlier with Alan, is there's still a misnomer. More people lose water rights thinking they're protecting them. We're worried about, it taken away from something, and so we still, there's been classic case, nothing's been done for long enough that now we're in jeopardy of losing the whole thing. You use it or you lose it, and so the more we can use it, the faster we can get anything into production, the better. You can always go and unuse it or turn off the faucet or divert the ditch, right now, Deer Springs is a point we need to do as much as we can, as fast as we can to even show. But we've got to have somebody go through. And so if Dale's willing to do this with the background and knowledge and the filings that were done over the years and what was bought from the Finley family, to on paper know what water rights are where and are they surface or underground.
We need
so
that.
I second the
motion.
Second that, thank you.
Talking about
it's been first and seconded.
Ranch water rights or private water rights?
The ranch.
The SROAs.
Everything on the acreage?
All ranch.
Mm-hmm.
The ranch.
They're all going to get a right.
Okay, so proposed and seconded, or motioned and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Hey, Dale. What's your hourly rate these days?
Oh, it should be a couple hundred an hour.
There you go.
I can't afford him.
John, let me mention this.
Yes, Dale.
When I was thinking about this, I went out and got, I have two full boxes of all the water rights and all the papers and stuff that we've done over the years. And I, on top of it was this book. And it looked at a letter here dated October 12 of 04. And it says a request extension of time, and the state granted us an extension of time on this particular water right. And it's one of the best ones on the entire ranch. And they required that they receive proof of beneficial use is hereby extended to September 30th of 2006. The question is, where is it? I don't know. Do you have the certificate? Who knows what the paperwork is?
I'm glad you brought this up about paperwork and certificates and agreements. We need to have a central location. I know I'm getting off track, but we need, this is just a case in point, that all of our paperwork, all our pertinent paperwork needs to be collected and safeguarded. And if we need to make copies of it, make copies of it so that everybody knows. And if we need to post it on the website, we can post it so that everybody knows. that's just a side thing on as far as paperwork. But I'm sorry, Dale, go ahead.
Well, I understood that a lot of file folders were given to Ole last year. Where are they? What they contain? I know there's other file folders 4 or 5 years ago that were sent out. I found them in the old bunkhouse, just over on a shelf. These things are really, really serious. Just for the sake of fun, I asked Ben, what is the state paying now for water rights? They are selling a lot of school trust lands. And there is kind of a number that's being used quite uniformly. And what was it, Ben?
$40,000 an acre foot was this last deal that the state was doing.
Quarter of an acre foot for $10,000 or an acre foot
for
$40,000. If you multiply that times 80, that's $3.5 million.
And we could lose it.
And who knows where it is?
And
see that?
We did lose it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think we have.
Well, so with this proposal that you've made to us, you're going to check into that, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
John?
Yes.
John and Dale, both of you. Dale, the box. We need to make a copy of that box. It's the only copy we got. Bad deal.
What box?
You said the box full of stuff that you found, and we need to copy that and keep another copy somewhere else.
That'd be fine.
You know, I mean, if it's important stuff, having all of it in one place and only in one place is an invitation to disaster.
Yeah,
that's been an age-old problem. We need to make a decision that says where all this stuff is going to be kept and needs to remain there in a safe place where we don't have this issue.
Well, Ben. Two safe places.
Yes.
Ben, can I ask you to try to collect all of these
documents? I will, believe me, I know that Dale rat holes, he's got the 50 years of his record. It's, I think, the last 5 years, I think that Barbara was working on his water rights after the well field well was drilled. Paul, if any paperwork that you find that looks like board meeting minutes or anything,
there's
and we can get
that.
It together and start finding out what's duplicate. Again, in this day and age, and I think maybe Vance can help us or whatever to start having it. Yeah, having it scanned and paper, electronic stored on all this a lot easier. But I'm happy. I've got some storage space and can start collecting that and keep stuff that's here in a preservable state in Kanab instead of somewhere around the country or up in the barn at the deer at the ranch.
Okay. Hey, Ben, is that you talking?
Yes, that was Ben.
Hey, you're a new voice, Ben. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to learn what you sound like.
Your chair closer.
Linda has quite a couple boxes, too, and she's got stuff that she's got in storage. So there's another person you can go to and get information. I have a few documents that I've gotten, that I've received over the last few months that I will make copies of and get you the originals that I have.
John,
anyway.
Once we get a summary of these, it would be that's what everybody may need to have a copy of.
Right.
They don't need to copy the two boxes I have in the background.
Yeah.
We bought 29, there were 29 water rights when we bought the ranch from Lynn Finley.
Okay.
I filed on 8 wells at one time and other, probably half of the usable water on the ranch is water that I filed on in the name of DSROA. There's some water rights that we're going to find are no good, and they've already expired. But to get that categorized so we know where they are, there are some very, very expensive water rights available, and I think they're still in good shape. But we'll try to have that.
However, even the ones that haven't been lost or that are in, quote, good shape, I don't think there's a water out of that. 90% of the water rights on the ranch are in jeopardy because they have not been used. I mean, if somebody went and audited and said, hey, this ditch obviously hasn't run water in over the five-year period, they could protest it. And the neighboring rancher, which I guess there's rumor maybe is already in the process of filing and taking those water rights. So we've got to move quick.
Okay, I'll make another motion then. I motion that Ben gather up these records and put them in his storage area, wherever you're going to put that. Give us an address, wherever we're going to do that, that we will have filing cabinets there that will just maintain those. Then we'll keep another set of records. Maybe Vance wants to keep them, but somebody can keep a backup of these things that we might have on a zip drive or something like that.
I know it's something I've been thinking about for months, but if I can, just hand that task off, and I agree. I second that motion. All those in favor? Aye.
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 How about Dave?
Aye.
Unanimous. Okay. Okay. Thank you so much. And so we'll hear back within a month, right?
Okay. We get part of the report ready by next month.
Okay. Awesome. Proposal, let's see, proposal three, this is also on new business, inasmuch as Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association has not stocked the ranch with sufficient feed to maintain the cattle through this winter, it is proposed that the board vote to approve the sale of ranch-owned cattle.
Now, wait a minute. Now, are we going to sell them or are we going to trade them to Allen Steed?
That we have, that's up for discussion.
That was an option.
That's an option.
Well, one of the things is it really probably doesn't matter because how much we have to figure out how many cattle we actually have that we want to sell. How many do we have?
We have 31 total. There's 15 and
young
16.
Ones or older ones? Which one?
There's 15 have heifers, milk cows, and then there's 15.
How old are they?
I don't know how old those old girls are.
You'd have to cut Brindle in half and count the rings to really find
out.
Tell them the main reason on this is different people had called me, and knowing the ranch over the years, you just can't hardly winter cattle in there unless you've saved two or three fields of feed for them to do. And when I talked with Brent Robinson, and he said, there's enough hay there till February, and if you have to fly or haul a semi in and the roads closed with snow, we could be in bad, bad trouble.
There is.
The cows are about 12 years old. And then in finding out that nobody branded or castrated or vaccinated the cattle this year, and maybe not even next year, last year, that's you know, we're not in the ranching business if we treat our livestock that way. And where you had talked about taking non-use because of Robinson for a year, I wondered about taking non-use on everything and going ahead and selling, shipping. And I talked to Brent. He said he'd be happy to help us to haul them and get them in and take care of them or all steed. But they're fairly easily replaceable in a year or two if the board decides to get back in the cattle business. They can certainly do that. But to have 11 bull calves up there this late in the season is just unexcusable.
Has auction come up yet? Has anything gone to auction?
No. Most of your cattle are shipping the 15th of October to the 1st of November, so it's not a problem.
So we still can get them out.
I think Grant's already started.
Before you cut one, I want to purchase one of the little bulls.
Yeah. I used to be in the ownership of the Cedar Livestock Auction, so I called the owner last night, Brent Whittier, and he said cattle prices are down. It's following the stock market. And so he gave me a price of what he thought the last Thursday cows and calves and yearlings and stuff went for. But I like the idea that Alistide said, call and we can get prices to know about what category they're going. I haven't even seen the cattle. So, you know, we can look at them and get a guess on their weights and their ages. And I think deal fairly with whoever you decide to, whether it's Brent Robinson or Alan, or take them directly to the auction.
Now, what was Brent's proposal?
Winter them with his winter cattle.
No, that was my suggestion to him. Brent said, he could help us. He'll haul them or help collect them in or work them.
Then you're looking at paying $2 or $3 a day per cow.
Yeah.
If we're going to winter them, we're not going
to
do that. I don't think that's a good option.
No, not right now.
And I don't think Brent's interested in buying
Brent's
them.
Brent's not doing
they're
that.
They're not.
Sounds like, and I haven't seen them, you know, and I haven't known, you know, what cows were Brent's or which cows were the ranches. Again, I haven't been in
the
involved.
Ones that aren't tagged are ours.
Our cattle are tagged except for the ones that are.
Right.
That are
the brand new
ones.
I think that again, you know,
the other point that I have as far as the cattle is like our infrastructure is really down. Our fencing, our corrals, our loading chutes. I mean, there's the whole setup is just needs a lot of work and needs time and money, and so that's another reason why that if we get back to the basics again. And just kind of maybe get rid of this portion of our operation and get back to it when we're set up to do something like that. But we got to get to that point.
One thing to consider is if you're going to allow Alan to go in and plow and plant, you can't have free-ranging cattle running through all his new planted fields, and so you would have to be to get rid of them, rest all of the grazing ground for one season.
That's good for it.
While he starts to plow and plant in the dry farm, then decide what to do. And so to go ahead and sell them outright at the auction or trade them to Alan, whatever.
Do we have any? The goats are gone.
Yes.
The ranch cows, if they went, is there any commitment to Brent or any other operator in 2009?
No.
No.
Okay. Then I have cattle herds and doing the same thing. I just renegotiated lease to move people off of another ranch property I have for 2 years because you can't afford to spend the time and money on seed and stuff and then have it destroyed.
Right.
And our time, not only our money, but our time and focus, I would like to focus on getting the ranch in better shape, not worrying about where Bessie is. So, Brendel.
I hate
that cow.
Okay, so there's been good discussion on this.
No,
we have.
I'm totally green, so but, they're not vaccinated. I hear that they're.
Well, we got the same thing. I think as a board, I would like to find that we are become excellent, to begin with, good stewards of whatever we have. We're not being good stewards of cows, we're not even operating. Let's remove them and move on with the land. So I hate to make everything, but at the same time, I think there's a lot of stuff we need to do. I make a motion that we dispose of the ranch-owned cattle at whatever is the best dollar for the ranch, whether that's home to the auction or if Alan will take them in trade and we're going to use that much in some have his equipment and not be messing back and forth.
Are you saying totally? Totally. I mean, do you want to keep a cow for milking or?
I would like one. I know he's got his eye on.
I think the owners that want to take what. I think that the owners have
priority. Keep them for milking?
I think you should keep
your question. Milking.
You want a milking cow?
No.
I want to buy one and I'll butcher it right there. So.
Right. I think that that's why if we get an auction price that we're either going to take at the auction we think we're going to get or if Alan's going to take the members have the first right to pay that for whichever animal they want on a per head or per pound basis. For their own beef for the fall. I mean, that was, I think, the whole idea that the association bought cows to somewhat override the members, my right to run my own cows up there, which
right.
they did.
That's
and that's kind of been somewhat violated. As a board, we need to discuss where we're going in the future. But right now, I make the proposal we dispose of all the cows. First priority is any members that want one for their own family beef use has that right.
How do we notify the membership that the cows are available?
Newsletter.
His letter.
Yeah, well, these cattle are going to be gone. These cattle.
I don't have time for that.
Week or two, to give them a chance.
Well, anybody, I think that Paul knows who.
Just email real quick and hopefully somebody.
I think that Paul knows anybody that's shown interest or that would be interested.
Okay. Yeah, post it on the website this week.
Well, I can do that, but you guys have always said in the past, we got a bunch of people that don't go there.
Yeah,
the people that don't go here usually don't want a cow.
Yeah.
It's usually the local people that can butcher it. They don't want. They're not going to haul it out of here unless they come down and get it up themselves.
Right. Okay. So we
now the price is going to go down as they get older. It's not going to go up. You have a cousin. Those are just rain foals, aren't they? Crossbred.
They got four legs.
Cross with a coyote.
Yeah. Okay, well, we have a motion. Do we have a second? I'll second it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Thank you. All right. That was proposal three. No, as far as the hay is, can be used. And
can I make a proposal?
You can buy some of that hay for your goats. You can buy it back.
How much is there now?
How many bales of hay do you go through in a week for your goats? Ten?
Ten with all my
with all the animals. Okay.
Right. Is that your proposal? You said you want to make a proposal.
To buy back the hay.
To buy back the hay that's there.
To buy back some of the hay.
Is it in the barn where it's at least somewhat protected?
Yeah, it's covered.
Yeah.
All 600 bales.
Okay. Well, we don't want to waste it. That's a good thing. I would like to, and part of it is me going to the ranch and maybe spending some time with Paul, or I don't know, when I was on the board, then we were running an armada of horses. So do we even own a horse? I know that we've kind of gotten out of that for several reasons. The other animals at the ranch are yours. If all the cows are gone, then...
I have my three horses.
Now, does he still have horses out there?
Five horses.
It's still running wild in the meadow?
And how long does it
take?
We
need to address that.
I call him, left a message.
Well,
I don't know how many times.
At this time of year, it's not going to do any more damage if they're there for a month. They're going to winter out soon. They'll have to get them or they'll be four legs up.
Yeah.
But I think the main thing is that we make sure we don't get anything back in there until we have a better plan to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's good. I think.
Yeah, they're still there.
Some of
the
old ones, they got it.
I'm feeding those days.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you. That's proposition three. There was one additional proposition.
Did we get the proposition three?
That was the one with the selling the cattle.
You didn't hand us any. We need a three and a four coming up. Pat, would you just keep on talking him for a minute?
Proposition number four is that inasmuch as Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association has cash flow restrictions and therefore maintaining and or improving the common areas has been financially cumbersome, it is requested that the board vote to instruct Clarkson Investments to review the DSR assets and records and provide proposals to restore common areas, increase capital, and suggest a budget for 2009 for the board to review and consider at the November board meeting. Once again, I don't have any, you know, I think that's a good proposal. I mean, obviously it's just for information to the board. Anyone have any questions or concerns about that?
I'm not on the board, but I don't think they should have any concerns about that. I think that one of our great untapped resources has been gone for a couple of years, and he's back, and we got to start taking his time.
She is the...
Oh.
I ask, before we get any further in this, then, what are you talking about suggesting a budget for 2009, a budget for the board and the ranch, or just a budget for these improvements?
I would think that I'd like to see us not say divide things. So I would say that it would be a proposal for the entire ranch. These other things are the same. If you evaluate the assets and the things of the ranch, that's all a part of the budget. Then the board can look at it and mark this off or add this to it.
Right. All we're doing is giving them the opportunity to make a proposal to us. That's all we're voting on.
I understand most of the proposal, but I have no idea where a proposal for the budget stands outside the committee. A member's proposal for our budget doesn't make any sense. Does that make sense to anybody else?
I understand what you're saying, Dave, but it's just a matter of it's a member that's offering.
I understand the rest of the offer. Mm-hmm. This just doesn't make sense. A budget for 2009 for the board to review. And I expect every one of us to understand Dale's position on the matter. I just don't understand where your submission of a recommendation for a budget makes any sense at this time. With anybody else?
Well, we haven't made a budget yet for 2009. Right. So what we're saying is we're open to listen to what they have to offer. That's all I'm saying. Isn't that what this is?
Yeah.
That we're open to listening to some ideas for a budget. We have a budget, but we're not
listening.
Letter
out to the rest of the members of the ranch and say, could you submit to us recommendations for the budget?
Anybody that wants to do it can do it.
I've
never heard that before.
Well, we used to send out a letter and say for this year's, you know, before
budget items, but not the budget.
Well, what we would do, what I did when I was president, it was send out a budget to all members the previous year and said,
right,
redline it, make it overall. Right. What is your priority? Yeah. And
so
and,
was
and
budget that was submitted. A board member or board president budget that was submitted.
Well,
it's still going to be the board's decision.
You've got the board budget for the last 10 years. That's your basis. If a suggestion is made to add additional money to that budget as far as income and expenses, the board should
consider
understand that and consider it.
And that's all we're saying.
Yes.
I have no problem with that. It just says here clearly and suggest a budget for 2009 for the board to review. I didn't know that that's where the budget recommendations come from.
No,
they've been in place for umpteen years.
I don't think the board has done the first three or four things on there either, but I think it's time that we agree with those.
What is our Dave, and I don't know how long have you been on the board? This last year or two?
8 months.
What is our plan right now? Is usually in November, December would be putting together a budget.
Yeah.
I don't know what
meeting.
Time.
Next
the last couple
November
of
budget.
Years,
right.
Has the board just got together and looked at the last year?
We looked at the prior years, and we looked at, you know, and we project inner revenues, and with that we adjust things, and they, even this year we had to readjust our budget mid-year because we were, you know, over in certain areas and we had to shift money there and things like that. And, you know, the budget is fluid, the way I look at it. You know, we have, you know.
Well, I have no objection to anything that I read here, except for I would scratch that and suggest a budget for 2009 for the board to review.
Just leave off the and suggest
the budget. Recommendations, increase capital, restore common areas, provide proposals. That all makes very good sense, and I would look forward to seeing those things. But this just glows in the dark. It just doesn't make sense. As board members, we have the responsibility of controlling the budget. We have responsibility of recommending the budget and getting approval for the budget. It doesn't sound to me like something that comes from the outside. Not
you know,
that you're outside, Dale.
You
know what?
How about suggesting? How about
on
changes?
That is if you know, just trying to brainstorm this through. If the report comes in on those top things and says there's additional expenses or additional money needed to accomplish these things, like you mentioned, if anybody says raise $5, I'm going to scream.
5 cents.
5 cents. What I'm saying is if the review, study, and recommendation comes in, and it has to be considered in the budget.
Well, can we put this in there?
I agree.
Can we put this in and suggest a budget for changes or suggest changes for the budget?
Well, the whole thing is for the board's review. So
right.
We've got to sit down and go through this.
Put there and, he doesn't like the wording, though. It says suggest
okay.
a budget. So
okay.
we can say.
No, here's what's important. Provide proposals, and the proposals do need to be provided. And if they include a dollar figure, which includes restoration, capital expenses, any one of those, it should be included in the proposal. Just.
To be considered as the board creates the 2009 budget.
Exactly.
Okay, so to be considered instead of saying suggest a budget.
And just line out and suggest a budget, just put increased capital for 2009 for the board to review and consider at the board November
I'm,
board
I'm
meeting.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
Is it okay if we strike that? It's from
that
and
they get it?
Just me. You guys,
no, with Dale as an owner and one of the majority owners. Yeah. Why does the board have to instruct him to do anything like that? I mean,
we're not instructing him.
He
just wants to make a proposal.
No, that's what it says. It says the board to instruct Clarkson Investments.
Okay, let me ask this. Who wrote this?
I did.
The board is not instructing anybody to do anything. It's being proposed here that be considered. But no, the board's not instructing Dale to do this. Dale probably has discussed this with each of us over the phone. Has he indeed?
Only with you.
Only with me?
John. No, I
think me. Yeah. He talked with me. I was
warning then. Maybe it's just a warning because it says it is requested that the board vote to instruct Clarkson Investments.
Ed, the reason I put that in there is as a member, I don't think that all of us should or even have the right to call Linda and say, Linda, we need to know these things for last year. Or we need to, you know, there's some research things there that if it's authorized by the board for me to ask some questions, then I can ask those questions and do it. Otherwise, I'm out of line to
ask her to give them that information.
There's certain
as a member?
As a member, you can come to the board and say, I need to know this information, and we can get the information to you, okay? But it's still...
Yeah. Needs to go through the board.
Neil needs to go
and
through the board.
And that's what he's asking for permission
to
go ahead and work
we don't
on
want
that.
To encourage, I don't want to encourage, even though Niall's a member, and I think on a friendly basis, somebody asking a question, but we don't want members calling Niall and saying, hey, Niall, where were we on?
Yeah.
I mean, if that happened as a board member, I would want Niall to say, you need to go to the board and kind of ask them, you know. Or,
okay, well, then it's just the way that it's written.
Yeah, a little verbiage.
What if you were to strike the word instruct and put authorize in place?
I just think... You know, there are unpaid assessments right now.
That need to be.
I don't
done.
Maybe have any authority to call Linda and say, Linda, give me a list of all the unpaid, you know, or don't give me a list of who you paid what to last year. So I think the authorization is something is, I wanted to come before the board.
Okay, I appreciate that, Dale. So if we strike instruct and put authorize, is that
fine?
And authorized, I think that's good, and I would like to work with Dale on that. But, you know,
you're the treasurer. Make it happen.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. So Proposition 4, with those amendments, is that instead of instruct, we authorize, and then we line out and suggest a budget. Put the line through that, and just leave it as for the 2009 for the board to review and consider at the November board meeting. That's the motion.
And I'll second it.
And seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Thank you, Dave. You know, okay. That's marching through this new business. That's good.
What was TRICOP on the bottom of that day?
And suggest a budget.
Suggest a budget.
Suggest a budget.
John, did you make the motion?
I made the motion, yeah. What is that proposal? It was seconded by Shauna. Okay. As far as old business, getting back to old business before we continue on, we discussed the water resource plan. The fire protection plan is ongoing. With that, we have instructed Paul to do weed abatement around structures in the off season. Okay, and to develop along it, have you, in your travels, did you get a chance to line out areas on the road where it needs brush work?
Yeah. On the road.
On the alongside the road, so that it's. What was our initial?
Well, I don't know how it usually goes. It's usually 10 feet from the middle of the road.
From the side of the road, on each side.
Well, it depends on how you want it. If you do a fire control, I don't know what it is on a paved road. I think it's 10 feet from the center of the road, which is about 4 feet off the shoulder. But on those roads, I mean, I could take it back 20 feet if you want it from the side of the road.
I think the areas that we want to start with. We need to go at least 10 feet, okay, the first, you know, our first go-through. And then also, and I'm not talking, you know, I mean, we got to mow things down pretty good, okay, within the first 10 feet. And then beyond that, when we go on to the next phase, then we can start doing some mosaic, you know, selective plant removal and chipping and so forth and burning, but... as far as the roads, especially for those choke points, we need to be careful because what we're doing there is providing access and egress, and that's in event of a fire,
right.
Okay, on the road.
A guideline given by Earl that gave a certain...
He gave us some generalizations.
Yeah.
He wanted... His major concern was Meadow Canyon because the cabins are up there.
Mm-hmm.
He was concerned about the road up to the cabins. There's portions of that need to be cut back.
Bend and rammed.
The choke points you're talking
yeah.
about on Meadow Canyon where it's heavy right down to the road.
Yeah.
And it could really limit access and egress up and down that. One of the other places, it's a really bad spot, and we never pay much attention to it, is that area right near the gravel pit, just north of the gravel pit.
And yeah.
Right next to the road. The cattle guard. South of the cattle guard.
Yeah. That's a choke point there. Yeah.
That's terrible, and that really could use a decent trimming in there. And one of the things that we could definitely do before we burn the slash pile sometime this winter is to, because it's not a far haul, we got to trim a lot of that stuff up.
Yeah.
I mean, not wipe it out, just
yeah.
Selective
limb and trim and selective removal, and that's what we want to hit those areas.
I have a plan in place.
Yeah.
And
especially around the cabins, right. We need to, you know, take it back 30 feet, you know.
And I'll take anything lumberable.
Absolutely. It's all available.
You got a mail?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Okay, so that's ongoing. Just let everyone know that we are... We do have a fire plan, and we're implementing it, okay? The road plan is also ongoing. Larry Meltzer's not here right now, but he is our road grader. He works with
Paul.
Larry who? And so as far as the road plan, there's other improvements there, culverts, areas that where the roads need to be reworked, and maybe because it's too rocky, we need to, you know, do something there. But it's part of ongoing, obviously, roads, water, and cabins is always going to be something that's with us and ongoing. So it's just a matter of just prioritizing and taking it a step at a time. And we're developing a plan on that. So
if anybody wants to see the map that I had drawn up, an extensive map on where the problem areas are, where culverts could be needed, where road work needs to
be. Can it be reduced?
I think I'm going to get with Vance, and we're gonna quarter it up or split it up to where this is Slide Canyon.
Yeah,
this
if you do it in that area.
We need a new map, though. I never actually got that map. So we were long went out the last time, and it never came back.
That doesn't surprise me.
Larry is the one that you had met with on grading the road this last year? He started sometime this summer.
Yeah, he's been doing a pretty good job.
There's some resource stuff that I'd like to get to Paul or Larry or anybody that's on there. I gave some to Alan Steed on that's a really good gravel and dirt road maintenance diagram that shows how to do it properly because, the roads have,
We need to get to the point where we don't just maintain the roads, we improve the roads and get them to the standard. We need to set a standard,
right.
I believe.
If we have somebody that's trained and agreed, so that everybody, whoever gets on that equipment, is doing the same thing and not counterproductive. One guy grades it to the left, the next guy grades all the gravel into the ditch, and there's some areas that I don't know who did it, but I'd like to see that nobody touches it other than, on the ranch roads. Other than certain people, and that those we know are know what they're doing.
Afraid to do that.
Paul, is the county doing anything out there? Are they going through with any?
County's gone.
That's a big issue. I think he was going to talk about that.
Okay.
That was my issue, and we'll talk about it whenever you guys are ready.
Okay. We'll try to move right along here then. Okay, well, thank you on that. The 40,000-gallon water tank restoration.
Now, that was Don's assignment, right? Was on Cawthorn, was supposed to be redoing that.
Yeah, I he was going to talk to him.
Talk to him a few times, but he hasn't made any motion towards that. So I said,
this is the tank on the north side of the.
Yeah. So I think we've taken it upon ourselves to try to get someone in there to do it right.
What is the need on it? I'm
the inside of
the.
They attempted to restore all of that tank early this spring. Matter of fact. When he went into sandblast,
the ends
much of it was peeling. Every bit of the inside coating was peeling. So they removed all that was peeling, removed the sand that had been attempted in there because it was insufficient, flushed it out, and filled the tank again. So right now it still requires a restoration.
The inside,
yeah.
Was the condition of it worse than what they thought initially? Is that what failed?
The ends was all that was required. But the sides, the top, the bottom,
it's
all
rusting through or what?
It's the what had been painted prior. Richard went in there and painted it, but the paint didn't bond, and it just started flaking and peeling and getting into the system.
Yeah.
And so it needs to be. We need to redo it. And it's rather expensive, the paint that we're getting, to redo it.
Who's
is rather
it?
Expensive. We were going to try to do it ourselves, but I don't know if that's really the best thing that we should do. Taylor said he was going to do it. He sandblasted. And
the odor, the problem, I think, is the safety.
Well, it's confined space. Anytime like that, it's confined space. There's red flags, Brent, and you've been in there and you looked at it. Still, there's a lot that goes on. You have to have a certain amount of air exchanges. You have to have monitoring devices, which we have. Vance has provided us with some monitoring devices for the atmosphere. You have to have retrieval systems. You have to have people there to make sure if someone goes down inside. There's a way to get them out,
So
it's a real safety issue if you get into it
and do it the right way. And the only, and my position is that we should only do things the right way, because the liability, if someone goes down, is really not. It's just
no
astronomical.
It's not at all
not worth it
risking. But I'm concerned. We had that tank resurfaced when we bought it before it was moved to the property, and then we're saying Cochran has redone it once since then. We're not doing something right, so I don't know if we're really. We need to get somebody. If we redo that right, it should last for 50 years.
Yeah.
It's either that, or do we get another system, more separate tanks? You know, that's the other thing is, do we replace it with something new?
Let's go on a field trip and look at it.
Yeah, I can make some phone calls to see some other people. I don't know. That should be an easy fix. This is not a new issue, but the type of paint, or we're not getting deep enough down to the core of the metal, and we're still over the top of corrosion or something. Yeah. If it's getting thin enough, that the tank, then it's got to be replaced.
I don't know. Tank's pretty thick. It could probably be redone, but we want someone that's going to do
professional,
it.
Professional that we know that they know how to do it.
And the paint is rather expensive. It's like 5 gallons was $800. And that was just going to do the two ends. Okay.
Everything that I've heard so far, the condition of the tank is good. The condition of the coating is bad.
But then again, when do we apply it?
Well, that's
the
thing is, we're to the point that a lot of that, if you don't do it in a warm enough temperature, then
it's
going to flake here anyway. So we've either got to do something quick or we're toast until
unless
spring.
Unless it warms up.
Paul, John, can I interrupt?
Yes, please.
Okay. The current coating that we have bought, some of, I don't know how much at this point, can be applied at any temperature. It just needs longer time to cure. The whole problem with the tank is that it was waterproof to drinking water standards with an epoxy coating that is very brittle and does not stand up to repeated cycles of being hot, being cold, being hot, being cold. It just let go and fell into the tank. The coating that we tracked down, that we've got some of already that we were going to do on the ends until we found out it was not enough, is flexible and will not do that. And it is not nearly the problem to apply that epoxy is. However, John is right. It's an ugly, nasty job. We shouldn't ask anybody from the ranch to do it.
Need gas masks.
Safety first.
I've done it. Yeah. I think with the right equipment, somebody like Taylor and his, his boys and his crew that are, have the insurance coverage, and I mean they know what they're doing, but just to do it on a volunteer basis, a bunch of us members up there.
Yeah, we'd all be out passed out, high flying around.
It wouldn't be a member thing, but I thought Taylor was going, being contracted to do it. And, of course, that would put the liability on him as a contractor, and that's the important thing.
So do we need more of that paint, Ben? If we only got 5 gallons, that's not going to do it. We got to finish it.
Actually, it's a two-part process, right, Vance?
You have to sandblast. What we're doing right now is we're running on the primer. And that's what's in there, and that's the only thing is keeping the water from the metal. The primer is holding up. However, we don't know what it is, and the people we bought the new coating from will not guarantee that it will stick to it. If we follow their directions to the letter on how to sandblast and prep that tank, they will guarantee that coating. Very important, but we've got to follow their directions.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So we're going to allow Taylor to do that, but we need
to... Well,
a,
I don't
a,
know if Taylor's still up to the job.
For
I don't know.
Do we want
to need a proposal for him.
Or is this something we want to do?
Yeah. If it can be done in a temperature inside, that's a project to be done before winter. We got cabins filling in next spring. We don't want to be then down for a month because we got
to
do it late for it to dry.
We need to do it between now and, say, the end of November.
Okay. The other thing you have to remember is you got 6,000 gallons of water storage in that delivery pipe, and if you carefully pump into that, you could keep the tank dry. And 6,000 gallons would last a long time for the headquarters and a couple of cabins down there, but they wouldn't in the summertime.
And the other thing we could do is we can get a smaller tank
say, a 5,000-gallon tank or something like that, a poly tank or something that we could tie into the system to augment if it was needed.
Only, and it's only going to be a month or so.
Yeah.
Because it's going to get a heavy freeze, and you can't put the poly tank out there because we split too many of them doing that. So you're going to have to put in, yeah, you're going to have to put in some,
you got to do it quickly
before it gets in it. The deep freeze doesn't come till the end of November.
Well,
how long is the tank going to have to be in?
Well, it depends on the temperature, sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, sounds the temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a week.
Warmer, probably the quicker, I would assume.
Probably, yeah.
Well, it's getting cold. We're having an early winter, I'm telling you, because the squirrels are already packed.
Okay, well, just an update on that. We'll communicate by email and by phone on this issue here. Okay, Paul?
Well, no, if Taylor's going to do it and they have stuff that works, I think then we follow the instructions, the letter of the law, so that we have some guarantee. If it doesn't work, you know, let's do it right.
Okay.
Let's find out from Taylor if he's going to continue to do that.
We weren't going to do anything until after this season.
Yeah.
So the close is the end of next week. So between, you know, October 18th and, say,
Thanksgiving.
Is somebody working with Taylor, or do you want me to work? Ask Taylor if he's still up to it and planning on it. He's just delaying, waiting for us to tell him the cabins are empty. We can drain the tank and move on it.
Yeah. And we'll have to order up the additional.
Yeah, John.
Yes.
Somebody needs to tell me what you've got up there. Okay. What did we buy? And then I can get, you know, a quote from the permit, whatever the heck their name was, people for the rest of it, and, you know, I'll handle that, but I need to know what you've already got up there.
Okay. I have
two boxes of...
You have a couple gallons.
I think I have a couple gallons.
Of the something. And then I've got a five-gallon container of the...
Well, just email me what you guys have got, and, you know, then we can... Look, you know, and then we can find out. It goes a long way. You know, everybody's thinking 5 gallons. That's not going to do much, but actually, if you follow their directions, it does.
Okay. All right, Vance. I'll be in touch with you.
Yeah, and I'll get another quote from them. They're very easy, very nice to deal with. Good people.
Okay. Do me a favor. Send me an email, just reminding me.
All right. As we speak.
Thank you.